Hi Eilish, how are you doing?
Hi, great, thanks. How are you?
Very good. I think after practicing how to pronounce your name, I think I just ballsed it up in one fell swoop. So Eilish, we'll go with that one. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. It feels such a privilege. I've seen some of the people that you've interviewed, and I've just like, I fangirl quite a lot over all of the people you've interviewed. So I'm like, oh, this is amazing.
I've been really lucky with the people that wanted to talk to me, which is great. So it's not the highly polished podcast, is it? But we'll get there eventually, I think. But thanks for coming on. So that, like, the same format, if you want to take us back as far as you want, and then we can just talk through your story so far, and I'll ask questions along the way, if that's right.
Yeah, that sounds great. So going back, I think it all started, I'll do a brief synopsis, but it all started probably over 10 years ago when I had a very big love for business and was very interested in it. And I also really loved beauty. And I was working as a marketing strategy manager for a very well-known house builder, and I hated my job.
How did you get into that job?
I applied for their graduate scheme. And I originally wanted to be a property developer, and right. I was like, right, okay, let me go into construction because it'll give me a great understanding. And I got offered two different graduate schemes when I was applying for things, and went with this one particular house builder, and it was very interesting, to say the least, and I did not enjoy it. So, but anyway, I ended up sticking with it for a while because it then gave me the opportunity to be able to go.
Did you not enjoy the job, or you didn't enjoy the business?
I didn't enjoy the job. I didn't like the people. The culture was extremely toxic. Okay. And it was also at a particularly interesting time where the recession had happened. So I was being put on redundancy notice. I got put on redundancy notice 3 times in 3 years, but got promoted every single time. But that kind of takes a toll. So you're a bit like, here we go again. But what it did was I was originally in division, like a divisional office. And then I moved into a group strategy role. And so that's where you're helping to put new projects into the rest of the business. And I had a very lovely job of being able to upskill everybody into moving them from reserving houses and writing all the information down on pieces of paper and doing checks, to then bringing them into the new IT world of reserving everything online. So that was the first job, and that was the first project. And then the second project was around about helping people to understand marketing in terms of why you need to build that email list, and why you need to have all your data online, so you can, and how you need to contact people. And
how did you get, because obviously you weren't in the job for long until when you started doing that. Was that, you learned that while you were at uni?
No, so I did geography at uni, and then that was my degree, and I then graduated from there, went traveling, came back, started to work at the university for a year, and then got this graduate scheme. And it was where you spent like time going around the business for 2 years, and then you specialized in one particular area, and mine was sales and marketing. So I then went and whilst I was there, I went and trained in my Chartered Institute of Marketing diploma. So I became qualified in that, and then started to do the marketing projects, where it was essentially training people and also marketing at the same time, and also being a change maker. Where you like a change maker is where you are trying to upskill people in the business and make positive change, but the culture of that company was extremely resistant to change. Therefore, it was like going and banging your head against a wall every single day for a good few years to try and encourage people to see that this is the way the business is going. This is where life is going in general. So
they put you in this role, and then they were, you kind of think if they created the role, put someone in a role like that, they're going to be really open to change, aren't they?
This company was not open to change whatsoever. Like, I had to show people how to use Google.
So deep down, did they want to change? But then in the cold light of day, like, they didn't want to, or they just found it really difficult?
They found it really difficult. The group wanted to change and bring about change, and knew that for them to keep surviving as a business and to keep growing, they needed these changes to happen divisionally, where people were doing like their day-to-day lives. They'd been in the business for like the past 20 years doing sales one particular way. It worked. They were like, we don't want to do this. And I was the person in the middle trying to like manage expectations on both sides. So it was an interesting role, but what it did do was allow me to also then go and retrain as I was living in Birmingham at the time, but because I was traveling so much, I would be in London 3 days a week. So then I would stay over in London and then work during the day, and in the evening I would then go and train as a makeup artist at the London College of Fashion, because I was like, maybe I want to go and do makeup. And then I would use my holiday days to go and assist at MTV and Vanity Fair and go and assist those different makeup artists. And I was like, okay, this is cool. Not what I want to do though. So then what I did was go and train as a beauty therapist part-time. So this was like on a Saturday and a Sunday and in the evening. So I went and trained as that. And then using like more holiday days to kind of figure out what I wanted to do there. And I started to work for free for a spa in London, because then within that time I then moved down to London. And
what were you doing in the spa?
I contacted this spa and I was like, look, can I just come and work for you for free on reception, just to see how the business works, because I think maybe I want to go into a spa. I'm training as a beauty therapist, like I love the beauty industry, but I've got no experience. And she was like, so you want to work for free for me? I'm like, yeah. She's like, okay. And I was like, great. So then after work on a Thursday evening, I would like do the commute home and then to Balham, and then like start to work there in the evening. And then the Saturday I would also work in there for free on reception. And then as one day I decided I'd had enough with the construction company, because the people just weren't very nice, and I walked into my boss's office and said, I quit, I can't do this anymore. And he said, what are you gonna do? And I was like, don't know, I have no idea, but I'll figure it out. And then
I do know it's not this anymore. Did you know, you didn't want to work there anymore, or like construction property development just wasn't for you?
It wasn't for me.
It's quite nice when you can get that clarity though, isn't it? That's as good as knowing what you want to do. Like, at least, you know, like, I definitely don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, massively. So that day, I then messaged the woman who owned the spa to say, oh, I quit my job, but I'll still be working for free, don't worry. And she said, oh, that's funny. My business development manager has just quit today. Do you want the job? And I was like, yes, I do. So I was like, sweet. So then went to work for her.
That's awesome.
And she had two multi-award winning spas, and I worked for them doing like lots of marketing projects and running the business for her. And then I ended up going traveling after that for a little bit longer, because I really love travel, came back, and then that's kind of when the Glowgetter officially started doing blogging. And
were you blogging while you were traveling?
No. Oh, okay. When I got back, I was like, so what do I want to do? And I had, I knew I was really interested in business because I had some friends in business that I thought was really fascinating. And I knew I loved the beauty industry, but I didn't want to be a makeup artist because I tried that. And I didn't want to run a spa or be a beauty therapist because I'd also tried that as well. So I was like, okay, so what's the thing in between? And as a different sub-story, I hope everyone's keeping up, I feel like I'm all over the place, but as a sub-story to that, I'd always struggled with my skin. and I had really horrendous acne, and my skin was always really, really sensitive. And when I was in London and when I got back from traveling, I tried Pi skincare because my eyes would always stream with water when I would wash my face, and they would sting so much I wouldn't be able to open my eyes for like 5 minutes afterwards. And I was like, I don't know what's going on, but my skin feels rubbish, my eyes are streaming, and I just need something that's sensitive. So stumbled across Pi, and then that was my whole introduction into, oh, what's organic and what's like, what's all this like natural skincare shizzle that's happening, and oh, what's about, and then once I started to look into that, because it really worked, within 2 weeks of me using Pi skincare, my skin had cleared up, my eyes didn't sting anymore. And this is what triggered kind of this whole look into what is now indie beauty, clean beauty, sustainable, whatever you want to call it, for all its guises. Yeah. And I started to just blog about that. And then health and wellness also came into that, because like that's also a part of having like clear skin and glowing skin. But I hadn't figured out how to get the business side into it as of yet. So I was just like, okay, we'll keep going with this like beauty stuff for a bit.
What were you doing at that point? So you got back from traveling, you didn't go back and work at the spa, and you started blogging. Like, how were you living though at that point?
Yeah, so I was temping. I did some temping being an executive assistant, and oh my goodness, I was horrendous at it. I was just, the blogging stuff was going really well, but I was doing and I was being an EA for a construction company, like a startup.
Oh, you went back into construction.
So it was like, but it was for a startup company. So there was like five of us in there, and I was doing that. And I remember the boss saying to me, like, just like, are you sure this is what you want to do? Like, do you really enjoy doing it? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, right, okay, just not quite sure you're enjoying it. And
so it was, what were you doing though? Executive assistant? Like, what was your day to day?
So it was just a lot of admin. And the problem with admin in me is I hate admin. I will go out of my way to avoid it. So it was just like, it was just a bit of a disaster. But what was really good was all the blogging stuff and events were happening, and I was turning up to every single thing I could get my hands on that I could be invited to. So and then writing about it and blogging about it, and that really started to take off. And then I ended up moving to New Zealand because my boyfriend at the time was Kiwi and wanted to move back to New Zealand. So I was like, okay, well, in the name of adventure, let's go to New Zealand.
I know you should pry and you ask people ages, but how old were you at this point? You seem to have covered like loads of stuff at this point. So.
I think I was...
Or what year was it?
Now I'm rubbish with years, but I think I was 31 when I moved to New Zealand.
Okay.
And then, so I was like, okay, fine, let's like go to New Zealand, we'll try this. And I went over there and did a little bit of temping, and then ended up working for a big skincare company out there doing their marketing and social media. And I really enjoyed that. And then I ended up, my boyfriend and I ended up breaking up. So then I moved back to the UK and then was like, okay, what am I going to do here? Because I need to figure this shizzle out. Like, this is the massive opportunity for me to be able to like set up my business, which I've always wanted to do. And how can I like combine everything that I've learned all into one? So I started to run online events where I would just interview amazing people in the beauty industry about how to get glowing skin. So it started with that. And then I would get sponsorship as part of that. I did that for about a year when I first got back. So that was 4 years ago, nearly 5 years ago. And I was doing that. And then I was also doing some blogging. Yeah, ridiculously niche. which can be a good and a bad thing.
Absolutely.
So I started to do that. And then I started to speak to all of these amazing skincare brands who were like,
How did you when you decided, so you were chatting to people online about how a brands about how to get glowing skin.
Yes.
Which is ridiculous, isn't it? Good or bad thing. But then you said about getting sponsorship and things like that to fund it. Like, how did you go about getting the sponsorship?
Oh, like cold calling, cold emailing.
Oh, really? Saying, I'm doing this. Do you want to sponsor it?
Yeah.
And then you were asking for, how did you work out what value to put on it? Or you were just guessing at that point?
I was guessing.
Trial and error. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was literally a case. It was never expensive anyway, but yeah. It was a case of how can I give these brands loads of value whilst also being able to use that money to promote the event.
Yeah.
So there was never really any profit that was made in it.
Did you learn that from property or anything? Where did you think of doing that? Or you just thought, I'm going to do this?
Yeah, I just thought I was going to do it. It was before every woman and her dog were like doing online summits. So
yeah.
It was all quite new. And I was just figuring it out as I went along, like, how can I run this? How can I do this? And so I was getting sponsorship, literally cold calling, cold emailing brands, and then using any of my blogging contacts just to say, if you can't, do you know anybody that would be interested? Which kind of helped quite a lot. So I was doing that. And then what kind of was born out of that was I kept speaking to so many brands who were like these indie small brands who really wanted to be involved and had these amazing products, because I would get products left, right and center sent to me, but they did
nice
not
perk,
know how to
it?
Market. Yeah, it was lovely. It was lovely if products paid your bills.
If they were sending you stuff, were they then people that had heard about what you were doing and wanted to be part of it, so they were sending in products?
Yeah, so then I was still doing blogging around this time as well, so they would send me the products to say, can you review it?
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, sure, and I'm doing this online like summit stuff, do you want to be involved? And they were like, we would love to be, but we can't afford to because we're not selling enough products. And I was like, okay, well, I've got a marketing background here, I know I can help you. So, and this is then where the next iteration of, say, the membership was born, which is what I currently have. And that is helping.
Were you called the Glow Getter at that point?
I've always been called the Glow Getter. Before
that was your blog,
It's always been called the Glow Getter right from the beginning, before it got really trendy to call all your products the Glow Getter.
That's how I was told to go and speak to you at one point. After seeing on stage briefly, it was like, yeah, Ailish over there, the Glow Getter. So, like, oh, okay, going over there. Really,
yeah,
on the way
it's
out.
Always been that. Yeah. So, so then this is where then this iteration of the business was born, which was working one-on-one with clients, but then also creating a membership that teaches people how to market the products themselves. Because a lot of brands don't want to go for investment, have no clue how to go for investment, just want to earn a living doing what they love. So their budget isn't big from the beginning. They're not wanting to necessarily grow it to 100 millions of pounds in turnover. They just want to be able to have enough money so they can send their kids to a great school, so they can have a really nice life, so they can afford some extra things, so they can just do something that they really love. And this is where I was like, I know I can help you. And yeah, that's kind of brought you up to date. That was a very long story, I apologize.
it's amazing. I still find it fascinating that you went to uni, you did job. At what point, then I've got a question actually about the current business, about how we got there. But you said that you always wanted to be a property developer, but then at the point you went to uni, you didn't want to be a property developer, which is why you chose geography. So at what point in it, because then you traveled the world after uni, at what point did you go, property development?
I'd read a book by, as what tends to happen in my life, because I love reading. It was the Robert Kiyosaki book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And it was probably, and my friend had introduced me to it because she had her own business. And it was basically...
What was it?
It's Robert Kiyosaki, he's the author, and it's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Oh yeah, okay.
And it has like a cash flow quadrant in it, and it has employed, self-employed, investor, let me just repeat that again. So it's employed, self-employed, business owner, investor. And it talked you through each of the different quadrants in terms of money for time, and how you can then make money work for you. And I was like, my brain was just blown away by like, oh my goodness, we're doing this all wrong. And that's when it kind of triggered, well, how can I start to do these things? But I also need to be able to like pay bills. And that's where the whole idea of being a property investor came from, where I was like, well, that's the natural thing, obviously, that you do, where yeah. you can then do that sort of thing. So that's where it originally came from. And then I was like, I feel like I'm like a bit more creative than that. So that's then where the evolution starts to happen, where I was like, I don't know if I want to do property development. Also, like, this construction company is shit. So what do I want to do? And it kind of, then I started to look back at what I've always really enjoyed, and that was beauty. And like, yeah. I would always be the person at uni who was doing my nails and doing my hair and putting makeup on people and stuff. So yeah,
that's kind of where that's how back. I've ended up in beauty.
Yeah.
Exactly
yeah.
the same. Yeah. So then I'll buy it. So I'm mad keen on books, but I find it really difficult when someone says like, what's the, what would be the one book you recommend? Have you got one or two books, like what are your favorite books?
I think, well, there's a book that always sticks in my mind as something that's really useful. It's a really useful book, and that's The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber.
Okay.
And that talks, and because that explains so simply how you need to create a turnkey business, which is essentially just having lots of systems and processes. So if somebody came into your business tomorrow and you said to them, make a cup of tea, the glow get away, they would know exactly how to make a cup of tea, the glow get away, because you had everything systemized, and they would be able to find it really easily, and they'd be like, sweet, this is the way you do it. So it's like, it's consistent all the way throughout. So that's a book that is really amazing. And it uses the example of a baker who she has this bakery and she wants to have another one, but she's doing all of the things and working from like 3 a.m. in the morning till 10 p.m. at night, and how this guy Michael Gerber, who's a real person, he then goes into the business and helps her to be able to see how to be able to systemize her business to them, for it then to be able to grow. So that's the first book that I would recommend. I've just got to look here, like, see which ones kind of stick out for me. There's definitely mindset books. So yeah.
That's what I'm keen on, actually. I like that, but some of your posts and stuff like that I watch, like, really resonate with me because of that whole mindset bit. That's why I was interested in seeing this. So go on then, yeah. which ones?
So there's some standard ones, which are like Brendan Burchard's High Performance Habits, which is a really nice book to read, and also it kind of gives you that zhuzh up. And I previously was really into Tony Robbins as well, so I've been to some of his events where you like walk across hot coals and all that jazz.
Oh, you've been to some of you?
Yeah, I went to
when you say Sydney. Some like how, because they're really like a couple of days, aren't they, like
I think it was Unleash the Power Within was okay. The one I went to in Sydney, and that was a 4-day event. It's nuts. Like the first day you're like gearing up to like go and walk across these hot coals so that then you can like walk into that new life having this new mindset and stuff. But it was a really, really amazing event in terms of being able to help you get clarity on where you want to go and how you want your overall life to look. Because like business is just one small portion of it. So his event was really amazing for that. I'm just trying to see. There's a book which I am going to read. I've just ordered it actually, which I think is going to be really, really revolutionary, because I have listened to quite a few podcasts on it, and it's by Brené Brown, called The Atlas of the Heart. And one of the things she says in that is, she has a quote, which I'll hash up because I can't remember it properly, but it's essentially, our experience of the world depends on how we can communicate it. So the language that we have to be able to communicate. And one of the key research bits of the book at the beginning talks about how, if you ask a person or the study group that they have, how many emotions do you experience? Most of the people there on average could communicate that they experience 3 different types of emotions over, say, a sustained period of time, or over a day, or over like a course of time. But what, in actual fact, there's 87 different emotions that we have. And what we all tend to do is communicate the way we feel our emotions incorrectly, because we don't have that language to actually say, instead of us being really, really angry, we're fearful, or we have despair, or we have frustration. And I think that is going to be such a fascinating book to read, to be able to help myself and help clients, because I think that's going to be key with being able to bust through the mindset shit that comes up with having a business, whether you're right at the beginning, where there's a huge amount of fear, up to like the millions and multi-millions in terms of I always feel like it's a new level, but same devil in some respects, because I've had clients grow from very, very small to doing very, very well. And there is always similar stuff that comes up. So you need to then be able to have that communication and that language to be able to work through that, so then you can help somebody. Because if you, as say a person who's helping a client, if they can't communicate properly how they're feeling, then I don't have the right context to be able to help them with that transformation to get through to that next level.
I love Brené Brown anyway. I've even heard of this book coming out. Yeah, she's great. I gifted everyone on our senior management team one of her books. Like, I find them incredible. Did you coin the phrase new level, but same devil, or have you heard that before?
I don't know. I've heard new level, new devil, but I think I actually, well, maybe it was me. I have no idea, but I feel like nothing's ever new nowadays. So maybe I have coined it from somewhere else.
Oh, amazing. Anyway, I've deviated and take us off track. Give me one second. I've just realised my battery is nearly dead, so this is super professional, as always.
Don't worry.
I'll edit it well. I couldn't work out why my screen faded and you went all dark, and then it dawned on me.
That normally happens to me. I'm glad it's not just me.
There you go, you're bright again. Sorry about that. I will chop in there. Right, books. So then on the, going all the way back to the glow get a bit, when I've had people try and sell me services and stuff like that, or help, one thing I've always asked them before is like, have you done this before? Have you got any experience in doing it? If you were teaching, like now it must be really easy to teach people how to market the brand, because you've got like a bank of brands that you support and stuff like that. How easy was it initially to start getting the first people to talk to when you might not have done that yourself? Because was anyone a bit dubious, or because of how you were talking and you were talking with authority and like you sounded really credible. Did people just buy into what you wanted to do?
No, you still had to be able to prove yourself. But I think because I'd been in the industry already, because I'd also had experience doing marketing for a skincare brand, which was Global Skincare Brand before, and I was doing their social media, and I had proven case study, I had a proven case study from that, as well as having my marketing experience and a qualification in it, people were like, okay, I buy into, you've got the experience there, or you've got some kind of knowledge there to be able to help me. But it wasn't easy. I don't think anything is. I feel like if somebody thinks something's really easy, then they're telling you a lie.
And because you've got more experience now, do you, it's a really crappy question, but when you first started doing it, were you doing stuff really a lot less? Are you charging people more money now you've done it loads of times? Or do you still keep it like the same? Because surely the value of you has gone up, right? And going back to your, when you were talking about the rich dad, poor dad bit and the quadrants, one of the bits was like time, money versus like time you're putting in and stuff like that. So as your own self-worth has been increasing, have you been able to charge people more money for doing it? Still, they get a load of value, right? But do you charge more money now than you did at the beginning?
I haven't. Because I wanted to make it affordable for small indie beauty brands to be able to grow themselves, I've only increased the price a tiny amount. It started off at £79 per month for the online only members, and it's now increased to £99 per month. It will stay at that for as long as I can make it that keep it at that level of affordability. And then with one-on-one clients, it was a bit more money, but it still wasn't very much. Now that I'm introducing some other services where I've got other qualifications, yes, there will be a higher price point as well, for more of my time. So there is that mode where we're going back to rich dad, poor dad. If you're going to have more of my time, then it will cost more money. But there are different levels for people. So, and that's the way I want to be able to help people, so that then, if you are just starting out and you have no clue, you can go and do something at an affordable price point. And if you want to work with me more one-on-one, then that's where it's just more expensive.
Yeah, well, when I had my first triathlon coach, he had something similar. So if you want like the one-on-one really bespoke plans, it's going to cost you a lot more money than you could be. Like, you're be interested, what do they get for the £79? So he'd create something which should be like a real entry level, your monthly fee, but he was quite cute with the whole thing because it was a low effort for him, and because he was building up this community, they were starting giving everyone the advice that he'd been given previously, so he was really relying on the community to help build it. Is it something similar that you've created?
I feel with what I've created, I'm actually really proud of it, in terms of if you follow that program, you will be able to get to say 5k months online with your e-commerce brand very easily, because it has a website layout in there which is proven and it converts. So it basically tells you what you need to do and where you need to put everything. It has pre-written blog posts in there, it has pre-written email sequences in there, such as like your abandoned cart sequence, your email sequence, there's how to create a challenge in there, as well as a whole separate training to be able to grow your community yourself. It has it has how to grow your Instagram account. It has updates in there from when I've been invited to events and what are the key things that are happening. It has Facebook ads training in there. It has copywriting training in there. It literally has everything in terms of marketing you could possibly think about, including customer experience as well, how to create that exceptional customer experience, how to get those testimonials so it grows your brand.
All for £79 a month?
It's £99 a month now, yes. And I feel like if you're going to have a business, it needs to be freaking amazing. And I feel like what I've done there is create something that is really special. And if you follow it, then it will help you to grow.
Sounds amazing.
It, I, oh, to be honest, it really is. And I know
so you and you've even created like the funnels, like from the emails and stuff like that. How did you learn about all that stuff? Does that go back to what you were doing before as well? Or is that reading books or is that more courses?
So it's a kind of a bit of everything. So with the marketing strategy side and previous job life, we worked with agencies in terms of like how to create funnels and how to create amazing customer experiences and like the customer journey and touch points and that sort of thing. So I was always involved in that and knew about it anyway. So say for example, where I am not an expert would be Facebook ads and SEO. So I brought in two experts who do that every single day to do a training on that instead. Because I'm not an expert in everything, I've got a lot of knowledge and experience, but where I don't excel, I will make sure I get an expert in to be able to help with that. So we've got some more experts coming in to do some extra trainings on some things as it keeps going on.
And to access all that, is that through the website and then just a portal where people go on and have a look at different things at any one time?
Yeah, so I've created a framework which it takes you through all of those trainings, because sometimes what happens is you can log in and you can be like, oh my goodness, this is too much. So I've created this framework which says start here and just work your way through and implement these bits, because you don't need to be running Facebook ads and thinking about Facebook ads right now if your website is shit, if you don't understand your target market, if you are not speaking to them in a way that they will understand, if you've not got a website that converts properly, if your photography is not right, then let's look at all of these things first. Let's set up your welcome sequence. And then once you've started to prove your concept and started to get a couple of sales coming through, that's when you start to have the Facebook ads and you start to look into that yourself.
What's the website?
Theglowgetter.co.
And do you have two different questions? One, say if I wanted to do this today, but I had no idea on a brand yet, could I still go on there and then start, or is it for people that have pretty much got an idea? Or could I start having a look at it going, oh, actually, that's going to prompt me to have some ideas and stuff like that? Or do you think I need one first?
So I would say if you know you want a skincare brand or a hair care brand and you have the formulations kind of there or thereabouts and you're within 6 months of launching, that's when I would recommend that you join, because what tends to happen is a lot of brands come to me and they're like, I've launched, and there was tumbleweed, and I'm like, oh, okay. So like, did you build up that email list before you were launching? Did you set up your website so that people could go and check it out beforehand? Did you start to build up your brand online first so that then people could get excited for when launch day came? And they were like, no, I haven't done any of that. And this is the key thing that most brand owners get wrong, is that you need to be able to have somebody to launch to.
You can't just
launch and then expect people to buy from you.
So rather than come to you going, I've launched, and they not come to you going, I've launched,
and it's, yeah, they're like, I've launched, really, and I'm freaking out because I've got no sales.
Really underwhelming. And the other question was, what if I was launching a clothing range, would the same principles apply, or is yours very heavily bespoke to beauty, or do you reckon the same principles can be applied?
With marketing, I feel like there are very similar principles. However, this is completely beauty based. So I will use examples of brands who are specifically beauty based, who are doing it really well in there. I will do website reviews of beauty brands in there who are like, this is amazing. Like, look at what they're doing here. Do not copy it, because we do not copy in this community. What you do is you use inspiration to be able to go, look what they are doing. What would resonate for my audience here?
Yeah.
And it's also just to give examples, because people learn through stories and people learn through visuals. So if you can help somebody, if you can say, this is what I'm talking about, and then give them the example in a real world scenario, then the learning cements a lot more.
Okay. And then that makes a lot of sense. I won't come to you for my clothing range. I'm not doing the clothing range. Just trying to help with some of his. We literally had that launch moment. Ta-da! Actually, whenever he does a video online, he sells stuff. So he's got an audience of some sort. He's only 10, so he's not that fussed about doing stuff. But until he wants some money, then he'll go on, do a video on Instagram, and then he sells a video or something. It's just ridiculously easy for him. Where does the mindset bit then kick in? So when you're talking about goals and, I don't know, writing stuff down and getting your audience, like, how do you describe that and where does that come into it?
Yeah, so that's the first training that people will go through is the mindset training. And that includes visioning and goals and getting your mindset right and working through those fears. So there are hundreds of journaling questions in there for them to go through. There's mindset trainings. Normally I do a hot seat training every month, and there will be a website review in there to give them feedback on their brand, but then also there will be some kind of mindset training within there for them as well. And I always say within the membership, it's a mix of marketing and mindset, because and it's a case of giving them what they want, but also what they need. So what they want is the marketing and how to grow on Instagram. What they need is how to be able to grow a brand and survive over the long term. Because if you don't have your mindset right, the marketing will do shit.
Yeah.
So this is where it's a case of, these are some really key mindset things you need to do. These are some habits that would be really useful for you to start to implement right now. These are some really great data things you need to be looking at. And this is a spreadsheet that I've created for you to help with that. And then, so I'll do as much as I possibly can in terms of mindset for the online only, to help empower them to go and do it themselves. With my one-on-one clients, however, I work with them a lot more on mindset. So if they come to a session and they're like, this is going on, we will then discuss it and I will talk to them about it. I'm less coaching them in that situation, because previously I've not been trained as a coach. So I would never coach them in that. We would just have a conversation and I would be a consultant in that perspective, where I would say, okay, this is a really useful resource. These are some things that you could go and do. But what I found was, which is why I've started to do my business coaching qualification, is that I could consult on the problem. But what I also needed to do was coach the person. So now what I'm able to do is coach the person as well, to be able to have their own personal transformations, as well as consult the problem when they're really stuck on something.
Yeah, amazing. Do you, you must have had this experience. Has someone done this with you? Is that how you, was that part of the Tony Robbins stuff? Or was that, have you had a coach before?
I've actually had a therapist, so this is an amazing mindset tool, which I feel like has helped me professionally and personally, where I, during lockdown 1.0, I was living by myself and previously working by myself, and I was really struggling because I'm an extrovert. So like, I feed off being at events and being around people, and that all went completely for me. So I got, I basically stalked this therapist online, who I like fangirled over her for ages, because she's like, she'd written a book, she's got a PhD, and she used to work in the NHS. And I was like, please, can I work with you? Please, can I work with you? And she's like, my wait list is full. And I was like, yes, but please, can I work with you? And
then, who was it, would you say?
Yeah. So she's called Dr. Sophie Mort. She has, she's incredible. Where's her book here? She launched a book last year called A Manual on How to Be Human. I think it's actually in the other room. And I think her Instagram account is Dr. Soph. So definitely go and check her out. She's just like uber cool and amazing. So I started to work with her during lockdown, and that has been incredible, because she's also done coaching as well. So it will kind of meander through therapy and coaching, and I think that's a really interesting and fascinating place to be, because I can understand the mind so much more, which then helps me resonate and empathize with my clients, and then also be able to help them. So and I believe that I've got to walk my talk. So if I'm going to be able to help other people, I need to be able to help myself in that respect as well. So that's where I've been working with her for like 2 years now, and it's been amazing.
That's amazing. I rave about it all the time. I had I was going through a difficult time with my ex-wife, and Dr. Soph was like really resonated with you, didn't she? Like you wanted to work with her. I was listening to a podcast by a guy called Nee Shobo, who's an ex-NFL star, and his podcast is like resonating with me. My ex-wife was all into the visualization, manifesting, journaling, and it was just, I couldn't be doing with it. It just wasn't for me at the time. She was like, you probably need some coaching yourself. I ended up getting him. He put an advert on his podcast saying he's getting these guys and girls. And I got him. He actually was the one that convinced me the relationship wasn't right. So we laugh about it today, actually, my ex-wife. But it's great when you put it all into practice. And then some people always say to me, like, you're so fucking zen and all this kind of stuff. But it's purely because of the journaling, meditating, goal setting. I find it amazing. Do you find when people come to work with you and want to work with you, probably in their, not so much now because like you're really visible with it, aren't you, on your Instagram socials and about your goal setting and stuff like that, or I've noticed it, do people just want to speak to you for initially the marketing stuff, and have some people been off put by you wanting to do all the other stuff and they're like, no, this isn't for me? Or do people just think, I'm going to really buy into what I'm being told here because I know it's the right thing to do?
I think it's a mix of both. A lot of people who I work with are very receptive to it, and yeah, the people that are have made the most progress. I have had people which I no longer work with who it just wasn't the right time for them in terms of they couldn't bring that on board, because I think within business, when you decide you want to set up business, because of the really crazy world that we're in with social media, everybody thinks they can Amazon Prime their life and Amazon Prime their business, and they can't. Yeah. And it's a case of let's stop. So they get super frustrated where they're like, we'll do a visioning exercise with them, or we'll start to work through what their goals are. And they're like, I want $100 million brand. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. We can work towards that, but it's not going to be overnight. And you're probably going to need to look at investment there as well, unless you've got an endless pot of cash, which you're going to be able to invest into. And yeah. A lot of my brands always say to me that I'm extremely supportive, but I will give them a kick up the arse when they need it. And it's that I will give them the reality of it too, because otherwise I'm doing them a disservice and I'm doing
it's what you want. Surely if you're investing money, you want to be helped. Most people I talk to that would be looking for someone like you, they want to be held to account. You know, otherwise it's like that eternal procrastination about, oh, it's not ready yet and all this kind of stuff. But the one thing they're all seeking is for someone to hold them to account. I do a mentoring thing with Virgin, and all that's about is, because I'm not a trained coach or anything like that, so I could never do coaching. I don't think I'd be very good at it. But the mentoring bit, I quite asking a few questions. And more importantly, did you get that done? You know, the whole to account. And so you're good at that bit.
Yeah.
Tough love.
Yeah, it is a little bit, but in a very nice way, and with a lot of fun as well, with a bit of a like wink and like high five when you've done it, and like and having that element of fun there too, because I feel like entrepreneurship is extremely lonely, and when you want to create a brand and you're doing it by yourself, you're filled with all of these fears, and then if you can, and you're stressed about kind of having this person keep you like holding you to your account, but then if you can come on the call with them and then just have a little giggle about it as well and like have a bit of fun, then it's about having that happiness as part of the journey and not just always thinking about the destination. It's about how can you make yourself happy right now, because what you're doing now is what you're choosing to do. Like you get to do it. So let's enjoy it whilst we're going along doing it. Let's not just think, oh my God, this is another job and I have to do it. It's like, woo, I get to do it. And that's also like where the mindset side comes in, because I feel like a lot of the brands, and myself and every brand owner included that I've spoken to, or entrepreneur, we sometimes get caught in the weeds of, oh my God, this is stressful, this is stressful, this is stressful, this is stressful. And you start to compound all this stressful stuff on top of each other, when you actually you just need to take a step out of it and go, well, how do I want to design my life whilst I'm building this? And then that's where the magic really comes in, because things start to get a lot better and a lot better, and you start to manifest a lot more when you can enjoy the process.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Do you follow the, do you journal? Obviously.
Oh my God, I love and how journaling.
How often do you journal? Once a day, twice a day?
It's probably once a day. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with consistency. So sometimes there will be days when I don't do it. Like I need to put a disclaimer in that, like, when I say these things, I do them regularly and I do want to do them, but sometimes they also fall off the list. But journaling is so important for me. It's just a place to be able to get out all the crazy shit that's going on in your head and then be like, oh, it's okay now, I can move on.
Yeah.
And
it
also
spills
just
out as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe the first time I was advised to journal. So I've never been a diary taker, and I was just like, like literally like words coming out, which I just have considered before. So it with being consistently inconsistent or sometimes consistent, do you have a routine, like a morning routine or an evening routine or anything that you follow?
Yeah, so I've played around with morning routines for quite a few years. I was part of the 5 a.m club after I read that book for a while, and I was like, yeah, okay. And then COVID kind of hit and threw everything out of the window in terms of having anything that was routine, because everything would just blur into one. It was like Groundhog Day every day. Yeah. And then now
that's so true, actually, isn't it? It's like you didn't want routine at that point. That's when my routine was going out the window, especially being on your own. Like, you've got to have something different because it was just blurring. Sorry, I'm a bit interrupted.
No,
I hadn't actually thought of that at all, but yeah.
Yeah, it's, and so now I'm kind of coming through out the other side, and obviously we're doing a lot more things, and I'm just finding what works for me and what are my non-negotiables again. So that involves journaling. It involves going to yoga at least 3 or 4 times a week. I do hot yoga because you need something. Again, Brené Brown talks about this in her new book. You need something that switches your mind completely off business or what you're doing to something that if you do not focus on what you're doing, you're going to fall flat on your face, or you're going to have a ball that hits you in the head, or you're going to fall off your bike, or you're going to fall off the treadmill. And it's being able to almost have that brain holiday to then focus on something else completely, to then come back in to allow your brain to like do other stuff. So that's hot yoga for me. Getting out in nature. I know some of this sounds real cliche, but it actually works for me.
It works.
Yeah,
I genuinely believe it works.
And the getting out in nature and having sand between my toes, oh my goodness, it just like soothes my soul. So
yeah,
they're kind of 3 key things, but the journaling is really incredible, and meditation as well. I mean, like, meditation is phenomenal if you can kind of consistently keep doing it. Just, I feel like it makes me a better person, but it for me, it's incorporated into yoga, so I don't necessarily have to then come back and do meditation as well.
Same. I was beating myself up at one point, so I loved when it was before really doing a lot of the Ironman and triathlon stuff, but I was meditating on a quite regular basis. And then I started doing all this other training around it and trying to juggle work and the kids. It was getting a bit too much. And then I started stressing that I wasn't meditating. But then I was finding on my long runs, if I didn't take music with me, and I would literally just absolutely zone out. Same on the bike. That's really meditating. The amount of times you come up with solutions and stuff like that, and you can just take yourself away. So now I use that as my meditating rather than trying to sit down. I do love sitting down in quiet though. It's very rare it happens, but
yeah.
That's amazing. With all these skills and the love for beauty and everything like that, have you ever considered doing your own range, or this is just purely what you love doing?
This is purely what I love doing. I'm not interested in doing my own range. I get so much joy. Like, I feel like my zone of genius is being able to help other people reach their potential. So this is where what really floats my boat is the mindset piece, is the business bit, to then be able to go, right, I can see where the gaps are for you. I can help you. I can consult you with that problem, but I can also help you from a mindset perspective, get that transformation so you can go and achieve what you want. That's the thing that it makes me excited. It gives me the goosebumps to then be able to physically see that transformation in somebody's face where they're like, oh shit, yeah. And I'm like, woohoo. And that's the thing that lights me up, and that's where I feel I personally excel. So that's just what I want to keep on doing and be able to help as much as I possibly can.
Amazing. And do you, unlike Dr. Sof, when she went back to you initially said I'm full, do you have capacity for brands at the moment to work with? Yeah,
so I've got, I'm going to be launching a one-on-one service. So I've got a couple of one-on-one brands which I work with consistently, but I'm going to be launching a 12-week coaching program. So I'm really excited about that. And that's going to be for people who are at a certain level, they're doing fairly well in their business and they're not just starting out. And then also I want to be able to help teams a lot more. So come into high performing teams and then be able to coach them too. So there's going to be more coaching services that I offer just because it lights me up, as well as what I'm currently doing. So yeah, I'm just kind of creating all that at the moment.
Cool, amazing. And is the best place to get hold of you on your website, or is there other places that people can reach out to you?
Yes, so the website is theglowgetter.co, and also my Instagram account is at theglowgetterofficial. That's probably you can email me at info@theglowgetter.co as well. I won't give you any more, otherwise it'll overwhelm people.
info@theglowgetter.co.
Dot co.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I do like your Instagram, and I encourage everyone to go and follow you, because everyone's clearly going to listen to me, but I love it.
Cheers, dude.
Cool. Well, I genuinely, I could talk to you for ages, but I am conscious of your time, but I will actually reach out, because we do need to grab lunch or coffee or something. So I want my picky brains about loads more stuff, but just want to say massive thanks for today. Sounds amazing. And good luck with all the coaching.
Oh, thanks so much. And thank you so much for taking the time to interview me. I'm really privileged, and I'm so excited to be able to connect and carry on this conversation.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And I'm going to go out and pre-order the Brené Brown book as well, actually. Massive fan. Cool. Well, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. And I'll catch you soon.
Thank you.
Cheers. Yeah. Take care. Bye.